NFL Live, ready for training camp 2020. Unlike no other. 30 of 32 NFL teams welcoming veterans today. Cowboys, new coaching staff, new system. Time for players and coaches to get to work in person. Finally, Bucks. Brady has already been at the facility, but the rest of the Bucks are showing up here to potentially meet their new teammate for the first time. The Lions, there's head coach Matt Patricia arriving and going through his own COVID testing as he enters the facility. And the Raiders welcoming players to their new home in Las Vegas for the very first time. Everything has been virtual up until now. Well, here we go. Training camp off and running. I'm Susie Colbert. We'll have reports from across the league. And the guys right here, Lewis Riddick, Dan Orlovsky, and Adam Schefter. So let's begin by laying the groundwork for this whole thing. And here's a look at the schedule and testing guidelines as things get going around the league. All players must pass 3 COVID tests over a 4-day span before entering the team facility. Today and tomorrow, players will be tested and then return home to isolate for 24 hours. Meetings are still virtual. After this period, players will be tested daily for the first 2 weeks and then every other day if the positive rate remains below 5%. Players do have the option to opt out. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. But first, here's what a handful of head coaches are saying about today.
Well, I'm concerned. I mean, again, you know, that's why the emphasis will be that, you know, we've got to follow the protocols and be very, very diligent with it. That's the thing that, you know, I think that we're missing right now as a society is that we're not very diligent. I think as we, you know, understand more and more about this virus, it seems that, you know, that wearing a mask, washing your hands, socially distancing, trying to avoid large crowds, you know, you give yourself a chance. You know, we're fortunate that we're testing here. We're testing a lot. And, you know, so we're getting results quickly. That's the other thing that's been beneficial for us so far. And hopefully we can continue and maintain that.
Around the league, a number of us are going to have to be the best teammates we've ever been, because we're going to have to, you know, not only take care of one another, but we're really looking after your families too, because we're going to make the best decisions off the field. And I think we've also learned you can do all the right steps and still, you know, have positive tests. So we'll take them when those happen, you know, we'll deal with them. And that's why the protocols are in place.
And there's this component. So far, 19 players have opted out of the upcoming season, and the list is growing. Some notable names here, including 3 Patriots starters. Also, you've heard Chiefs guard Laurent Duvernay-Tardif and Bears stalwart Eddie Goldman. Adam, it feels like this list has been growing by the minute today. Can you take us through exactly what the opt-out means and the deadline to do so, the impact of this?
Well, Susie, this is a situation where I think a lot of players are concerned about what they're seeing across the country with the spikes in various states. Some of these players who are opting out have friends, relatives, family members who are sick, who may have passed in this particular case. Every situation is unique and different. Dont'a Hightower welcomed a child in the middle of July. Patrick Chung is scheduled to have a child in the near future. And I think players are looking out for their safety and feel unsettled about the fact that the virus has affected certain segments of the society more than it has affected others. It has affected the elderly. And I think we're going to hear more and more about coaches around the NFL, something we're not hearing a lot of right now. It has affected minorities. And I think some of these players have been scared off by it and are opting for the opt-out. For this upcoming season, we've seen a higher than expected number of opt-outs. And again, players have until August 3rd to officially opt out. So this may just be the beginning. We have 6 opt-outs from the New England Patriots already, and there may be more coming across the league, Susie.
So when do they actually begin physical activity? Because we call this the first day of training camp, but the players are not actually getting together. Yeah. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, this is an entirely different summer. And as you held up on that chart, they have to pass 3 COVID tests before they're allowed back in the building over the span of 4 days. There'll be about 3 weeks of conditioning work that will essentially take the place of the organized team activities that did not occur during the offseason. Then there'll be 2 weeks of practices. And if all goes planned and there are no setbacks and there are no outbreaks, then the season would open on schedule. But this is an entirely different summer, and the way teams conduct camp will be different than they ever have. I was on the phone with a head coach this morning who said he was out on the field with all his players, all his rookies. They were all wearing masks, all staying apart. Very different than any other year, and every team has to face obstacles it never before encountered, much like our society at large. And so if everything stays on track, no preseason games, limited practice schedule, couple of weeks of work, and then they get the season underway again in early September.
Okay, as we bring the other guys in here too, Lewis, you know, players have been on their own basically since February. How long do you think it will take for everyone to acclimate?
Yeah, I think it's going to be team by team, Susie, obviously, and player by player. Obviously, you hope that the organizations that have a little bit more continuity and maybe a more veteran-laden roster will be able to acclimate much quicker because, obviously, those guys have a much higher maturity level, and they understand what it takes to get themselves ready to go in football shape to a degree much more than what maybe some of the younger players would. But I think, obviously, it's going to be something that's going to be case by case and team by team. And I think that kind of uncertainty, this heightened level of uncertainty in all aspects of the football operation when you're talking about professional football, is something that's going to be the new normal, something we're going to have to get used to. And I think going into this season overall, as with the question you just asked me about how quickly will players be able to acclimate, I mean, I think the balance of power from week to week is something in the NFL that is going to shift dramatically depending upon how these players react to maybe testing positive and getting sick or testing positive and not getting sick. Who knows what's going to happen with coaches, support staff, as Adam alluded to, because that's something that hasn't gotten a lot of headline right now. But obviously there is a considerable amount of worry about that. There's just so many different unknowns right now. I think we're just kind of learning day by day, just as the players and the coaches are trying to adapt day by day in an environment where they just really don't know what kind of certainty they can count on.
Right, and as you call it, a new normal for sure. And Dan, it seems like going back to the draft, you know, there was this idea that we needed to keep an even playing field across the league. Do you believe that goes out the window now?
In some ways, yes. I think that the best team in the NFL isn't necessarily going to be our focal point or who wins this year. I think it's going to be the team that handles everything the best. And a lot of times, you know, we use the phrase, you know, the teams that is the most unselfish team is going to win this week or this season. And we often tie it to performance on the field, right? What defensive tackle is unselfish enough to stay in his gap to make sure the ball goes this way so the linebacker will make that tackler? What guy on the backside of a blocking scheme is unselfish enough to make sure that the play works? I think the word unselfish is going to be more tied to which one of the coaches referenced early on in the show is what team is going to sit there and have the amount of leadership that is necessary to live an unselfish type of life for this season. That, you know what, the escape that I want of maybe going out to a club or going to a party or going bowling or to the movie theater that I'm used to, I can't do that this year. I just can't do that this year because not only would I put myself at risk, but I'd put my teammates at risk as well. And the locker room is such an intimate place, a special place, and you build these bonds that are very almost family-like. And there's going to be situations where guys will sit there and go, I can't do that because my best friend on the team has a father that is at more high risk, right? And so I can't make that decision. And I think the team that displays the most selflessness when it comes to their everyday life is the team or teams that will have the most success rather than the more talented ones this season.
Yeah, who's going to make the personal sacrifice? And I think we know the team that's the best at adapting to all of this will be the ones to succeed. Well, so much change for the Patriots, right? Look at New England for 2020. Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Kyle Van Noy signed with the Dolphins. Jamie Collins teamed up with Matt Patricia in Detroit now. Donta Hightower, Patrick Chung, and Marcus Cannon are opting out of the season. No head coach has been better at adjusting, adapting than Bill Belichick. Dan, how would you put this task in perspective?
To get this team to the playoffs was going to be one of Bill Belichick's greatest coaching seasons. With everything that has transpired over the last 24 hours, if this team makes the playoffs, it would be his best year. I mean, with with all the change that they've gone through, obviously at the most important position with Tom Brady, but now basically half the defense is gone from last year. And again, this was a team that was 0-4 against the best four teams in the AFC last year. They're a worse football team talent-wise right now than they were when the season ended in February. If this team makes the playoffs, it would be Bill Belichick's greatest coaching season of his career.
You know, particularly on defense, Susie, is where he's going to really make his money. And obviously that's where Bill cut his teeth in the NFL. Well, actually, he cut his teeth on special teams and then defense overall. And you look at that graphic that was just up there, all those linebackers that are gone, linebacker unquestionably on the defensive side of the ball is the hardest position to play when you combine the mental requirements along with the physical, the conflict that you're in every single play. And his position is just wiped out right now. And then when you kind of like, you know, go up top and kind of look at it from a 30,000-foot perspective. Look at all of his signal callers from a year ago are gone, minus Devin McCourty. Patrick Chung, gone. Dante Hightower, gone. Tom Brady, gone. You have special meetings in the NFL for signal callers in particular, the guys who are front-facing and talk to the rest of the team. All of his from a year ago are gone. So there's no question. All of those Hall of Fame credentials that Bill has on his resume already, he's going to have to call on every single one of them. He, without a doubt, is going to have to do his best coaching job, as every other coach in the NFL is going to have to do, in what is obviously shaping up to be the most unique here in professional football history, without a doubt.
And not just for Belichick, too. There's been shuffling on the coaching staff, especially on the defensive side. So everything's going to look a little bit different there. And this happening today, the NFL's number one overall pick in 2020, Joe Burrow has agreed in principle to a $36.1 million contract with the Bengals pending a physical later this week, as reported by Adam. So Adam, let's bring you in here. And we know that the Bengals have been pleased with Burrow since they began their virtual work with him even before the draft. So how did this deal work out?
Well, this is predictable, Susie. The numbers are slotted. The question is just working it out. And I think it was important for Joe Burrow to get this deal done and to get to work on securing that starting job. And not just securing that starting job, but to make sure that he shines during his rookie year at a time where the deck could be stacked against him. Keep in mind, no OTAs, a delayed training camp. He won't get through any preseason games. So really, the types of preparation that other quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks, have in other years, Joe Burrow is not going to get to have this year. But then again, people won't have a book necessarily on him. And so it's going to create a unique set of circumstances. The bottom line is he wanted to get that deal done. He is expected to be the Bengals' starting opening day quarterback. And this is a team in which not much is expected. But in a year where the pandemic is the great leveler of the playing field, I think the Bengals have as good a chance as anybody if Burrow can shine. Why not? And so he gets the contract done. It's 4 years, $36.1 million, $23.88 million signing bonus. Joe Burrow's future is secure. And now the Bengals move forward with the man that they believe will be the face of their franchise.
Hey, it's a big why not. Dan, what are your expectations here?
Yeah, Susie, three things. First of all, Joe Burrow's greatest attribute is he plays with poise. He doesn't have panic in his game. Great reaction. So that's going to help his transition automatically. Number two, the scheme that he's going to play under with Zach Taylor. It is not a mentally taxing scheme for a quarterback, especially pre-snap. A lot of it is post-snap, play-action based, and reactionary based. Again, that will help expedite this process for him. And then number three, A.J. Green, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Giovanni Bernard, and Joe Mixon. There's some talent in Cincinnati. Jonah Williams comes back, their first-round pick that missed last year. I agree with Shefty. I think that the Bengals can surprise some teams, and Joe Burrow will not skip a beat. He will have an impressive rookie year.
All that talent, but as a total offense, they will have had no reps together for quite a while and no dress rehearsal at all when they kick off for real. Tall order. As mentioned at the top, 30 of 32 training camps open to veterans today. NFL Nation has you covered with the inside scoop from camp. And we start with Jenna Lane, who's with the Bucs.
Thanks, Susie. Bucs quarterback Tom Brady passed two COVID-19 tests. He underwent a physical yesterday, and I'm told that he can take the practice field tomorrow to begin conditioning. Other position groups will have to wait until August 3rd. Running back Keyshawn Vaughn won't be joining them, though. He's been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. The Bucs were really counting on Vaughn to be an asset in the passing game. We know how much Brady loves to throw the ball to running backs, and that is not a forte of Ronald Jones. Coach Bruce Arians said that rookies have already missed 400 reps due to no offseason program, so Vaughn will really, really have to get up to speed quickly. Now let's go to Raiders camp to talk to Paul Gutierrez.
Well, thanks, Jenna. Perhaps now more than ever before, that nagging feeling of hurry up and wait permeates the now Las Vegas Raiders as their veterans arrive at the team's new compound here in Henderson, Nevada. Sure, for the first time in the franchise's history, players have a state-of-the-art facility with all the bells and whistles they could only dream of before. But they'll not have any access to any of it until they pass their COVID-19 protocols. So this gleaming new building is a teasing allure of an ambiguous future. As Raiders owner Mark Davis told me, he was not even sure it was safe to play football amid the pandemic. Uncertainty, he said, was the word. For more on the Cowboys, here's Ed Werder.
Well, Paul, as Cowboys veterans report to their first training camp to be held here at the Star, let's put this unique situation into perspective. It's been 203 days since the Cowboys hired Mike McCarthy as their head coach. It's 47 days until their scheduled opener against the Rams. McCarthy is yet to see any of his players on a practice field. And Susie, as you know, before that happens, Dak Prescott and his teammates have to pass 3 COVID-19 tests before they're even allowed in the facility.
Thank you, Ed. And Gan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
More reports on the way. The NFL is back as the league navigates the start of training camp during a pandemic. We'll have reports for you throughout the show from across the NFL. Let's go to Washington, where the Washington football team opens camp with a new name, a new head coach, and a very interesting competition at quarterback. So much change to handle amidst a limited amount of time on the field before the season is expected to kick off in September. Plenty of storylines from just outside the nation's capital. After 88 years with the same name, finally a change. Ron Rivera is entering his first season as head coach after spending the last 9 years in Carolina. And just yesterday, Washington placed Alex Smith on the physically unable to perform list. Here's Rivera earlier today talking quarterbacks.
Well, again, I still think it's a competition, mostly because we'll have a longer period of time than I had anticipated to get ready to roll. So, again, it's going to be pure competition. I like the fact that, you know, we've got a good group of guys that will push one another. And, you know, I think the big thing, more than anything else, is it's going to be about, you know, how each guy develops over the period of time. I mean, we've got a little bit more time. The one downfall is we don't have any preseason games. So, again, we're going to have to try and create as many game-like situations in our practices as possible so we can get a good evaluation of our quarterback. Well, we compete. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. You know, we got a bit of good news that if he had passed the physical as far as his doctors were concerned, that he could resume action. And now, you know, he's got to pass the football physical for us. But if that happens, again, I think this is a guy that becomes part of our equation.
ESPN senior writer Jason Reed joins us from Ashburn. Teams ordered to use their practice facilities for training camp this summer. Jason, so much on Rivera's plate. How's he going to manage the quarterback battle?
Well, Susie, hopefully for Washington, well, obviously there's nothing more important than getting it right at quarterback. The team drafted Dwayne Haskins 15th overall 2 years ago to be the guy for the future. He did not have a good rookie year. There's no way to sugarcoat that. But now he has a situation where he can prove all the doubters wrong and prove the team right. Kyle Allen will obviously be in the mix. As Ron Rivera said, he'll be competing. And if Alex Smith can get right with the football part of his physical, he'll be next. He'll be in the mix as well. But Dwayne Haskins has to work out for this team. There's no other way to put it.
No, it's going to be a very interesting August for Washington. All right, let's turn to the guys now. And Lewis, we know that you have insisted that Dwayne Haskins has been at a massive disadvantage since he was drafted for many reasons. How do you see him handling all of this?
Well, I think Dwayne has taken the perfect approach this offseason. Look, if you, and I've had some correspondence with him back and forth, you know, via text message and what have you. And look, if you look at his social media and you see, look, he basically chronicled his entire offseason as far as how hard he has been working, how much weight he has shed. He looks absolutely fantastic. I think he's going to have one of those types of years here in his second year. Maybe it's very similar to how Jared Goff kind of took off when Sean McVay got his hands on him out there in LA, and everyone was like, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't the guy who we saw a year ago. And that's because people forget context is important when you're talking about quarterbacks. Dwayne couldn't have been put in a worse situation last year. You want to talk about not sugarcoating something? We all know that he was put in a situation last year where he could not succeed. He absolutely could not succeed. Now it's up to Ron Rivera, the head coach, Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, to build around this young man and provide a platform from which he can grow. Now, if he doesn't take advantage of that, then he has no one to blame but himself, and Kyle Allen will be right there who has familiarity with Ron Rivera, and he will be there to take over. But I expect Dwayne Haskins to have an absolutely fantastic, monstrous year, provided everything else around him stays intact, because he's earned it, he's worked for it this offseason, and I'm without a doubt betting on the fact that he's hoping that it's going to pay off for him once September rolls around.
I totally agree with everything Lewis said about Dwayne right there, and he's spot on. I'd give three things that I'm, you know, cautiously optimistic about for this season for Dwayne and his success. First of all, Scott Turner. Scott Turner's a really good coach, and I don't think he gets enough credit for what he really started to get understanding-wise with Cam Newton and the success that he was having in 2018. So Scott Turner has a very good feel and understanding for the quarterback spot. Number two, Terry McLaurin, his wide receiver, who's going into his second year as well. He's probably one of the top five young receivers in the game right now already. Big play receiver. So the quarterback having that is a big deal. And then three, I actually think that the Redskins defense is going to be better than people think. Dominant defensive line. If the secondary can stay healthy, that defensive line should get them to play better. And then that just takes some pressure off the quarterback. You don't feel like I got to go score 30 a game. So I expect Dwayne Haskins to prove he is the future in Washington this season.
Yep, the future, but no preseason to evaluate quarterbacks, which is tough. Off to the Twin Cities, the Vikings opening camp with their head trainer in quarantine after testing positive for COVID-19. As for the roster, plenty of uncertainty there too. Kirk Cousins adjusting to changes in his receiving core. The Vikings traded Stephon Diggs to the Bills after leading the team in receiving yards in 2019. Dalvin Cook looking for a new contract. He averaged the second most scrimmage yards per game in the NFL last season. Cousins and Mike Zimmer are entering year three together after both signing contract extensions this offseason. Big training camp hello to NFL Nation Vikings reporter Courtney Cronin. Courtney, let's start with the latest on Dalvin Cook.
Wouldn't it be great if I could say Dalvin Cook is in the building, but TCO Performance Center behind me, Susie, is not going to be open to players until they have three negative COVID tests. But I'm told that Cook did indeed show up on July 28th, the team's mandatory reporting date for veterans, and he took his first of those three COVID tests in the testing trailer in the team parking lot. Also, the part in meetings this
Okay, some technical difficulties with Courtney. Also there, they had a COVID-19 curveball to hit the team. Eric Sugarman, who is their head athletic trainer, has tested positive along with his family, so he is in quarantine. So guys, let's talk quarterback here. Kirk Cousins, he cleared a bunch of hurdles last year, answered a lot of questions. Dan, what are your expectations for Cousins in 2020?
To continue to play really good football. You know, Kirk has proven that he is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, certainly a top 15 player at the position. I'd say two things that are going to potentially hurt him this year. Stephon Diggs is a big loss. Like, Stephon Diggs is one of the best comboed receivers when it comes to route running and deep playability. And so for him to not be there is a big loss. And Justin Jefferson from LSU, their first rounder, should go in and play well, but he's not going to be able to be Stephon Diggs and the intricacies of that position. And then, two, this is very much so a remade defense. And I go back to the point that I made about Dwayne Haskins in Washington, that if that defense is better, you play different as a quarterback. You play a little bit freer. And now that that secondary, for the most part, is new for Minnesota, especially on the outside, Kirk's going to be asked to do more. It's not going to be one of those situations where you can play a significant amount of complementary football. Your defense might give up, you know, 6 or 7 more points a game because of those new people. And so you're going to have to be playing better on offense. And so, you know, for those losses, although Gary Kubiak will be great for him, I think the Vikings are not going to be a playoff team, even though Kirk will play well.
Be the problem for the Vikings, despite the fact that, again, he's going to have someone different in his ear again with Gary Kubiak now, with Kevin Stefanski having moved on to Cleveland. I don't think Kirk's going to be the issue. They're going to stay true to who they are. They're going to be run-centric and be opportunistic in the passing game, and Gary's going to run the same system that they ran last year, which in essence was his system. The issue, I agree with Dan, is on the defensive side of the ball, where they have new coordinators. Now they have co-defensive coordinators with Andre Patterson and Mike Zimmer's son, who are going to be running the defense, although Mike really runs it. And then at the third level of the defense, they have total turnover, basically. They're going to have to really break in some new corners and really have some guys have to step up. And then up front with the front seven, they're going to have to find a way to put some pressure on the passer outside of Danielle Hunter being the only guy who really right now has proven that he's a guy who can get to the passer when he wants to, which is basically all the time. Danielle's one of the best defensive ends in the NFL. So I think overall as a team, Kirk is the least of their worries. They have other things that they need to make sure that they iron out in a division that should be much improved, especially if the Lions and the Bears can figure some things out and go ahead and make a push and see if they can challenge for the division title as well.
Before we move on here, Dan, quickly, your thoughts on paying Cook.
Does he deserve to get paid? Yes. Sometimes in the NFL, you don't get what you deserve. I hate to be that guy, but the running back position is one that you have to be very smart with. We've seen this system, this scheme that Gary Kubiak is going to run for about 30 years now, have a ton of success, really, no matter what tailback was in there. Madison, the backup, had almost 500 yards last year, and so Dalvin Cook's a guy who's missed 8 games the last 2 seasons because of injury. And so there's a lot more reason to be cautious than overly generous with a contract with Dalvin Cook. And so for that reason, I'd say the Vikings need to be very wary of doing so.
It's tough.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Business for a running back. How long have we been talking about this new era in Tampa Bay? We've seen TB12 holding off-site workouts with his receivers for weeks. But with all the new pieces to mesh, how do they find a rhythm without a dress rehearsal? No preseason games. All right, we know the Bucs offseason has revolved around Tom Brady, who signed a 2-year deal that includes $50 million guaranteed. He'll have a familiar face to throw to in Rob Gronkowski, who came out of retirement, was traded to Tampa Bay. On defense, the Bucs gave the franchise tag to 2019 sack leader Shaq Barrett. Here's Bruce Arians just a short time ago.
Yeah, I think he's way ahead of the curve. I mean, he's a very bright guy. The terminology was the big thing. And And as we now get together starting tomorrow, we'll have start to collaborate a little bit more. So, yeah, I think he's in a great spot right now as far as that goes. Him learning what we do, me learning what he likes, meeting in the middle and doing a lot of different things. But I'm not going to ask the other 21 guys to learn something new when they've already had a good year of and good experiences in the offense. So I would have liked to have had a couple of preseason games, but it didn't work out that way.
Everyone has to get used to each other. Dan, just how different will things be with Brady at the helm? And I'm not really talking about the system.
Yeah, it's going to be an experience like these players in Tampa Bay have never had before. You know, everyone has talked this offseason, like, how quickly can Tom Brady get acclimated to Tampa? And I think it's completely the opposite. How quickly can the Tampa Bay players and coaches get acclimated to Tom Brady? I mean, this is going to be full go intensity from the moment the day starts. This is going to be an urgency and a focus like these players have never felt before. And it's coming from a position at the quarterback spot where Tom Brady is going to demand and demand and demand and demand and demand. And those guys have never experienced that before. You know, I had the privilege of practicing against Tom Brady and the Patriots once. And I remember we were down in Tampa, you know, ironically, and it's the end of practice, 2-minute drill, and there's three or four plays in a row and incompletion, and Julian Edelman is just casually jogging back to the huddle, and Brady is flipping out on him. You're not moving fast enough. You're not doing it the way I want. This is Julian Edelman, a player that has earned a lot of respect and had a lot of accomplishment. The players in Tampa Bay are going to have to get used to this very quickly. Training camp practice day 6, 7, 8, they stink. Doing it with Tom Brady screaming at you nonstop that the route isn't fast enough or it's not precise enough, or hey, defense, you've got to up your tempo. That's going to be a completely different world for these guys. And I think the quicker that all of these players and coaches get caught up to that mentality for Tom Brady, and the quicker they adjust, the better for Tampa Bay. But it's going to be incumbent upon those people going and matching Tom Brady's level rather than Tom Brady trying to fit in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think the relationship and the balance that has to be struck between Coach Arians and Tom Brady, which Coach Arians just alluded to, is really going to be the deciding factor as to how quickly this team comes out of the gate. And by that, I mean, look, Coach Arians said this: Tom needs to learn what we do. I need to learn what Tom likes. And see, what Tom likes and what he's been accustomed to and what he has really, really exploited during his time in the NFL is a quick strike, catch and run type of offense that really exploits the middle of the field between the numbers and is really about getting the ball out of your hands fast, taking quick drops, opportunistic play action shots, but really it's about rhythm, quick rhythm. Bruce Arians, from my film study and anyone else who watches Bruce Arians' offense, it is a lot of deep shots. It is taking advantage of play action pass and really pushing the ball down the field, which means holding on to the ball longer. So it's striking that balance. And then lastly, it's, can they develop the offensive line so they can protect Tom Brady so he then can exploit every facet of the opposing defense? Because we all know this. If Tom is getting hit, Tom's, you know, his efficiency nosedives, as it does with most quarterbacks. So it's really about striking that balance as quickly as they can coming out of the gate without having the advantage of working together this offseason, which I think they'll be able to do. But that's something that, without a doubt, will be a point of emphasis as soon as they're able to get together on the field and go 11-on-11.
And Lou, you bring up the Buccaneers offensive line, and I would point to the move that they made on draft day, moving up in the draft to go get Tristan Wirfs. Now, there will be a certain accountability that each of these players will have, knowing that Tom Brady is playing quarterback for the Buccaneers. It seems as if players will respond to a certain, they will answer to that. There will be a certain responsibility to the fact that Tom Brady's playing there. They will feel like they have to be perfect on everything. And in fact, if we tie all the news together today with the Buccaneers reporting and with the opt-outs in New England, I even had one general manager ask me today, would these six players in New England have opted out if Tom Brady were still in New England? And it's an interesting question to ponder about. I think that level of responsibility and accountability goes to the advantage of the Buccaneers, who now get to play with Tom Brady.
Well, very interesting. And Adam, I'm wondering if folks saw your tweet today involving the Kansas City Royals. The newest member of their ownership group is one Patrick Mahomes. And if you think about it, how cool, Patrick Mahomes, the son of a major leaguer, now part owner of a Major League Baseball team. Pretty cool. And also, Lewis, just to go along with that, You know, he signed richest deal in sports history, and something like this comes along with that. What do you think of the new ride?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. That's the picture I put up there. Look, the guy who you call the Ferrari, he buys a Ferrari. And it's a pretty nice looking one, too. Look, life is good for my man Pat Mahomes right now. I mean, he's got it going on. He's got money. He's got talent. He's got ownership. He's got a little bit of everything. Life is good. I'd like to be number 15. No question about it.
Yeah, you're right about that. Life is good. Adam, you know, for the most part, the Jets have put on a good face about how this all worked out. But how would you say that this trade has been perceived in league circles?
Listen, you never want to have to trade one of your best young players, which is what the Jets did. But in return, they did get back a haul of picks that I think few people were surprised that they got. They weren't expecting the Jets to land two first-round picks and a third-round pick. And, yeah, the Jets traded away Adams in a four and got back the three picks and Bradley McDougal. But that was a lot to get for a player who is disgruntled, who wants to become the highest-paid safety. And I feel like other people believe the Jets made out in this deal. Of course, Seattle feels like it made out in this deal as well, because very rarely are the Seahawks in a position where they can draft a player of Jamal Adams' stature where they're picking in the draft. So Seattle wins, the Jets win, but at some point in time, the Jets have to start drafting good players and stop unloading them and come up with players that fit the system, that continue to build the foundation around the centerpiece quarterback that they have in Sam Darnold and need to add to the roster, not subtract from it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point that Adam just made right there. Look, they have to eventually at some point in time cash in on these picks and on the advantageous draft position that they have earned in the top 10 picks year after year after year. And they have to start winning football games. So obviously this is a great haul for Joe Douglas. There's no question about that. But now not only he, but Adam Gase himself has to turn that into production on the football field. Because I can tell you this, for Seattle and for most teams in the NFL, if you told them, hey, what would you like? Would you like to have a bounty of picks to where you can constantly kick the can down the road and sell hope to your fan base and say, well, you know what? We're playing the long game. We're playing the long game. We're going to be set up for the future. We're playing the long game. If you told them, would you rather have that, where we're constantly having to get you to, you know, renew your season tickets in essence of hope down the line? Or would you rather have us contending for a Super Bowl title? I'm sure fan bases would say, well, we'd rather have you contend for a Super Bowl title. Obviously, John Schneider and the Seahawks and Pete Carroll believe Jamal Adams is one of those guys who gets them a step closer to truly contending. And they have a history of investing a lot of money in the middle of the field, in linebackers, guys like Bobby Wagner, in safeties like Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. And that's what they foresee for Jamal Adams, a guy who in the middle of the field, along with Quandre Diggs, can really give them a 1-2 punch to where now Jamal can be that X factor who in that division they need. They need an X factor on defense who can play at all three levels, who can rush the passer, stop the run, and cover. And Jamal gives them that. So if they win a Super Bowl, will you then say, well, Seattle won this deal? I think you would. So we'll see.
And quickly, one more quote coming out of Gase's press conference that's ongoing right now regarding the trade. Gase says he didn't hear from any players after the Jamal Adams trade. Frankly, I don't know how to read that. And I don't know how to read that, Dan. How about you? What do you think he's suggesting?
Yeah, I would say this, Susie. If Jamal Adams was an issue for this football team or an issue in the locker room, I would imagine a player would have texted Adam Gase and said, we're better off for this. We've got your back. Something like that. Or we'll make this decision right type thing. So I'd be, and if he's telling the truth, you know, I'd be a little bit alarmed that there was no type of communication in that aspect. Maybe Adam Gase had players in Miami that didn't want to be there as well. Like, we've seen this story, right? Like, all of a sudden, nobody wants to play in Miami and no one wants to play in New York, two of, like, the best cities in America. So I get a little bit wary. And maybe Lewis could speak to this a little bit more, because I know Joe Douglas, their general manager, was put in a tough spot, but it just seems to me like the decision was made of whose side I was going to be on, the head coaches, right? The head coach and the player didn't really get along. You move the player and you choose the head coach. The head coach better choose or prove the general manager right, because he was selected and they stuck with him.
All right. Plenty of time to address that, Lewis, sorry, at another time. So Jamal Adams moves on to Seattle and another new phase. Finally, how long have the Falcons been waiting for this? Todd Gurley arriving at FAPN. Fantasy football is back. And with the season right around the corner, get your league set now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. And you may want to consider this guy. The Giants' Twitter account happy to show this off. Saquon Barkley jumping completely out of the pool, holding a football, landing in the squat on the edge of the pool before standing up. That is pretty impressive. Barkley, we know, pushed through adversity last season, dealt with injury. All right, guys, which player will make the biggest leap in 2020? Dan, you start us off.
I'm going to go with Eagles tailback Miles Sanders. Last year kind of burst on the scene, especially back end of the season. He goes over 800 yards rushing. He has 500 yards receiving on 50 catches. I think the Eagles are going to implement him more and more into their offense, both in their run game and then their pass game. He's going to be a lot like what Christian McCaffrey started to become about 3 years ago. I think this kid's really going to sniff being in the 1,000 club and be a big-time part of their offense.
Two rookies are going to jump onto the scene this year in Clyde Edwards-Helaire down in Kansas City and Jonathan Taylor at Indianapolis. I think they're perfect fits for their respective franchises. Jonathan Taylor is going to run behind the best offensive line in football. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be used a la Brian Westbrook when Andy Reid had Brian in Philadelphia. And I think he just makes that offense ridiculous in KC. Indianapolis is a sleeper pick without a doubt in the AFC. I think they win their division. I think these two are perfect fits for their respective franchises.
All right, lots of running backs there making a big leap. That's a wrap for NFL Live. Falcons camp to